This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We begin for the second time part the Tanakh of Shoftim. Pasuk begins Ahi Achrei Mois Yehoshua. It's the time after Yeshua was lifted by Yishalu B'nei Yisrael B'Shem. Klal Yisrael turns to the Eibishter to ask, what does that mean? How does one turn to the Eibishter to ask? So the Rishonim tell us the Urim V'Tumim. They went and they asked in the Urim V'Tumim. The question is, what happened till now? This isn't the beginning of the Milchamis to be Kaivish Eretz Yisrael. Where was the Urim V'Tumim? Was this the first time they're asking? So the Ralbag learns, actually, no. They've always asked the Urim V'Tumim throughout Yeshua, even though it's not specific in the Psukim. But yes, they asked the Urim V'Tumim. So why is it significant here to say that they asked the Urim V'Tumim? So the Ralbag explains, Ki ha-milchama rishayna shayrish gadol l'shar ha-milchamas. Shemi yinatzu b'milchama rishayna yoyim ragoyim sartzilam aleihem. This was an important war. This was the beginning of many conquests. And the goyim had to see. The goyim had to take note. So this war had significance, importance. The mail of the strategy behind this milchama was more important than anything else from the past. And therefore they had to go and they had to ask the Urim V'Tumim. So the Urim V'Tumim didn't just come in over here, says the Ralbag. It's more Barichas in the Rabag and the Sefer on Tanakh. That actually they were using the Urim V'Tumim all through the time of Yeshua as well. The Malbim learns differently. Now, Barbanel learns differently, and he says that actually in the days of Yeshua there was no need to ask in the Urim V'Tumim. There's no need for it. And the question is why? So one pshat that the Malbim and the Barbanel say is Yeshua's a Navi. There was no need to go ask the Urim V'Tumim. Yeshua supplied them with the information needed. All of a sudden they find themselves Achrei Mois Yeshua, that Yeshua now is not here. They have nobody to ask. So mainly they turn to the Urim V'Tumim. The question, of course, would be, who's turning to the Urim V'Tumim? It just says, B'nai Yisrael, who's the Shoyl? We know the halacha is that the Urim V'Tumim needed a specific Shoyl, either a Melech or a Sanhedrin. It doesn't say here who's asking. And then first should discuss it a little bit. Who is the Vayish'alu B'nei Yisrael? Through who are they asking in the Urim V'Tumim? But I'll upon him, this is needed here because Yeshua is not here anymore, and Yeshua till now supplied them directly from the Rabbeinu Shleilam the information that they needed. The Maharsha says in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Hei that actually the reason why they didn't have to ask the Urim V'Tumim is not because Yeshua supplied them with the information, but there was no need for information. The Maharsha says that the Tafsise Milchoma, the strategies, was actually not a needed thing in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael won wars by Nisim and Eflois, not by strategy, pre-prepared strategic calculations. So it was not necessary to get a clear plan of war. And therefore, till here, there was no point of the Urim V'Tumim to ask. They just went, Mikigangin. And they were Menatzeach, and whenever they had to conquer. Mashen came from the time when Yeshua passes on already. Klal Yisrael has fallen somewhat. It's not the same as at the Kufa when Yeshua was around. And now they have to go to battle with a plan. And so the plan is, we go to ask the Urim V'Tumim. So this is the Vayhi. It was Achrimais Yeshua. After Yeshua was Nifter, now we have to start asking. And therefore, Vayishalu Bnei Yisrael Bashem Leimar, they turned to the Urim V'Tumim, and they asked for strategy. They're told, the pasuk continues, that they are told, Vayoymer Hashem Yehuda Yala. They're told that actually Yehuda should be the one to go first. And why is Yehuda the one to be told to go first? As we come and say, that's what Rabbi Yishlan wanted, but Chazal already tell us why. Chazal in the Medrash says, Yehuda ata yiducha achecha, you were always Rishon. Rishon Yeridas Hayom, Rishon Ledgalim, Rishon Letzivaisam, Rishon Leshaiftim, Memeila, therefore you go first. So he becomes the Rishon. There's actually another Medrash which is quite interesting, that Reuven, Shimon, and Levi had their time to lead in Mitzrayim. So when Reuven passes on, then Shimon becomes the leader. Shimon passes away, then Levi becomes the leader. So Meis Levi, Bichulas Yisrael, Yehuda. So they decided they want to appoint Yehuda. Do not make him the leader. There will be a time when he will leave. The time has not come. And when will the time come? Achar Misasli Shul Yeshua, after the time that Yeshua will pass on right over here. So this was designated for Yehuda to come to the forefront to lead. Why is it Dafka over here? Again, maybe with the Rabbah, this is the beginning of a whole new set of conquests. We're soon going to see when they went actually to conquer Yerushalayim. In the few psukim following, we're going to learn that the conquest of Yerushalayim is coming up. Maybe that's a very important conquest, and therefore, Yehuda, who's the Rishon, the Melech, so on and so forth, he leads. So this is the first two psukim. That the chronology, the story was that it was after Moshe Yeshua, and that the Yehuda was picked, and the Rabbi Yishlam guarantees through the Urim V'Tumim, Hine Nasati Esaretz Biyadai, I give the land, it's a guarantee that he'll be Matzliach. The next pasuk tells us something very interesting. Yehuda, when the Rebbe Yishlam tells him to go, he should have went. Rebbe Yishlam sucked. Yehuda Yala, he turns to Shimon. Vayomer Yehuda l'Shimon Achiv. Yehuda turns to Shimon, his brother. Alei iti b'gayroli, come, my chelik, my gayrol, v'nilchama b'knani, and we will fight the Knan. V'alachti gamni itcha b'gayrolecha. And I will go and help you with your conquest and your gayrol. Vayelech itay Shimon. And Shimon goes. So first of all, who is Yehuda? Yehuda, the Shevet Yehuda. Who is Yehuda? So Rashi says, Taka, a very poshut pshat, the simple pshat is, Shevet Yehuda. When we say Yehuda, we mean the Shevet. That's the first Rashi, you see. Shevet Yehuda, Yala t'chila lichba yishez gairoli. So when it's Shimon Achiv, Rashi continues to translate Shimon Achiv to mean Shimon the Shevet. L'Shevet shel Shimon. Then Rashi says that actually v'yesh paisrim, and this is a chazal, a medrash, it's Gemara in Tmura, Yehuda Yala, that Yehuda Yala is a sneel who yivets.
A what?
A sneel. A sneel beknaz, yivets. So Yehuda was a person, Yehuda wasn't the Shevet, and he happened to have had a brother, his name was Shimon. Mashma Yehuda Achi Shimon Shmai, that was one of his names, says Rashi. They used to call him Yehuda, the brother of Shimon. So he turns to his brother Shimon and he says, come, let's go and conquer Sheyelech Itai. Now, if the pshat is that Shimon is brother, so then possibly we could say that belongs to a Shevet. Right? Yehuda the Shevet, or whatever the Shevet he is from. So he takes his brother, because that person also has a chelik in that Yerusha. Whatever the brother, whatever he has, the brother has. It's the same chelik l'chayra. So he turned to his brother. Now why doesn't he turn to more people? guess he feels he's secure. He doesn't need many people. It's him and his brother. Come with me and my brother. My brother also has this chelik. So I asked my brother. It's interesting. But if the Rebbeinu Shlomo tells you, Yehuda, you go, what's the point of taking your brother with you? Maybe Achdus, maybe the idea of that you should fight together as a Klal Yisrael. I fight for you, you fight for me. There's another medrash in Shir HaShirim that the medrash says that actually it was Boaz. This Yehuda Yala is Boaz. Chaim Kanievsky has big discussions about it. I mean, how could this be Boaz? With the lifespan of Boaz wasn't hundreds of years. Boaz was in the time of Rus and he lived 70, 80 years. How could it be Boaz? It's a discussion. But these are three psalms we have. Either Yehuda Yala means Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda Yala could mean Osniel ben Knaz and he's taking his brother with him. Or Yehuda Yala is Boaz. I guess Boaz has a brother, Shimon. I'll call upon him. These are the three psalms. Now, like I tell you, the kasha is that why is he taking Shimon? I mean, if the Rebbeinu Shlomo tells you to go, then he should go. So there's a pshat over here from one of the Rishayim, the Rima Tarani. He says, "Bipnei shenachlas Shimon oisam uvlas benachlas Yehuda." The way the map works is that Yehuda, in Yehuda's lands, there's a part of Shimon. So actually, Shimon and Yehuda are somewhat connected in the landscape, and therefore he takes Shimon. Question still better than the answer, right? The Rebbeinu Shlomo told you. So why is it that you're taking Shimon? So I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Sirotsky Shlita in his Sefer, says a very nice pshat. He brings a Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Zoysa Bracha writes that actually Yehuda was so matzliach in his conquests that he gave a few pieces over to Shimon. What happened was he was conquering and he was over matzliach. He was over-successful. So the extras that he didn't need, so to speak, the scraps, he said, you know what, Shimon, come, I'll just give it to you. So he wants to say, maybe that's why he takes Shimon with him. Because since it's a din of kibush, the plan was not just to stop at what was his. He was planning on taking much more. So he takes Shimon with him. Again, the kash a little bit better than the teretz, but there is such a Ramban. That the Ramban learns that what Shimon was given by Yehuda was extras. The extras that Yehuda overtook past what he needed to take. Al-Kalpanim, the next pasuk tells us that, well actually there's a nice diuk over here. If you notice it says, Alei iti begairoli. He tells him, Alei. And then when he tells Yehuda tells Shimon back, V'halachti gamani itcha. So why does it say Alei and V'halachti? It should say Alei iti, Alei imcha, I'll go with you. You go up with me, and I'll go up with you. So the Malbim says, very simple, Yehuda is on higher lands. I guess Yehuda is Yerushalayim also, it's the mountains. So Alei, while Shimon's lands were actually lower down. So Shimon is V'halachti. Atzei learned the Malbim why it says Alei, and by Shimon, when Yehuda in return says, I will go, he doesn't say, I will go up with you, but I will halachti. I will go with you because it's down. Shimon's lands are lower. Anyways, it says, Vayal Yehuda. Now, what happened to Shimon? It's a nice question. Rabbi Yitzchak Sirotsky in the Sefer is Meir the Shai. It's a nice aura. What happened to Shimon? So he wants to say, maybe because the Iker was actually Yehuda, and he was just taking Shimon along for the ride, as they say. Not bad. Could be. Ayitin Hashem is Haknani Vaprizi Biyadam. Matzliach.
Biyadam, including Shimon.
So I'll tell you, it depends. If you learn Yehuda, means Yehuda, one person, so you're right, the deek is good. But if we mean Shevet Yehuda, so then it's Yadam, nice deek, but I like your deek. Or I could come and say that actually Biyadam means Klal Yisrael. Each Shevet represents the kibush of all of Klal Yisrael. That's been great about this. Time consuming. We'll get to it a different time. Al-Kalpanim, Vayakum Bebezek. They were successful. They made a defeat in Bezek. Aseres Alafim Ish. 10,000 people. Rashi says, Bezek, Shem Makay. Vayimtzu es Adoni Bezek beBezek. So here they find Adoni Bezek in Bezek. He is the leader. He is the king, so to speak, of Bezek. Vayilachamu bay, and I'm saying the word king not so clear, because Rashi says that the Shari Adoni Bezek lehoyikadai limlo yisamalchi knam b'shem melech. Actually, Adoni Bezek was the lower class from all the other malachim. See, Rashi says shiva malachim mikana talamim magadlusa v'aisha shalmalchi knam. You see how rich they were. Shari Adoni Bezek lehoyikadai limlo yisamalchi knam b'shem melech. That he actually wasn't supposed to be called a melech amongst them. That's why you say, I use the word melech lightly. I don't want to say just melech, because Rashi says it's not so posh that he's a melech. But upon him, they capped the leader. And they fight with him. Adoni Bezek, he runs away, he escapes. They're running after him. They grab him. And they cut off his behoinos yod v'raglo, the thumbs of his fingers and his feet. There's a mutilation. They went and they mutilated him. They cut off his fingers. So the question is this mutter? What is the point of doing this? So the Ralbag explains that the reason why they did this was in order lahavchid eshar malachim. They wanted to make an example. Listen, you better be careful. This is what we could do. Yeah, so we make an example. Lahavchin Ishara Malachim, Sivev Shikabal Ancient Mida Kenegan Mida. So this would be the Hetu Lachairu. The Rabbag is trying to explain what would be the point of doing this. The Malbim says a different shot. The Malbim says, why did they cut off his fingers? Because actually, if you look later in the Pasuk says that he himself came and he said that it's right that he got this einish. He was matzdik the din. Vayoyim radoini bezik pasuk zayin shivim alachim behind his yedeim v'ragleihem mikutzatzim hayim alachim tach shulchani. 70 kings, I would cut off their thumbs and they would pick the food from under my table. Kasher sisi, as I have done, kein shilim li alikim, the Rabbeinu Shloim paid me back. So Mida Kenegan Mida, says the Malbim, it's right that they went and they cut off his fingers. And it's interesting the way the Malbim speaks it out. Says the Malbim, we don't find anywhere that Klal Yisrael mutilated, anywhere Yisurim that they made pain. You have to kill, you kill. But you don't have to come and make mutilation. V'huk tzas neged chukei Yisrael, says the Malbim. Theoretically, it goes against the grain of Klal Yisrael. You don't behave in such a manner. You're supposed to kill them. You're not supposed to make them suffer. And the answer is that here was a unique case because he did it. He used to do it to others. So therefore, Kasher Zomam, the Kasher also, they paid him back. There's an interesting Goyin. The Goyin says that actually we find in the war against Amalek, in the Megillah, that they also did mutilation in fighting the Shushan, the Amalek. It says, Vayaku b'seinehem, makas cherev v'hereg v'abdon. What does that mean? Cherev, hereg, and abdon. Says the Goyin, cherev, they mutilated. They cut off their limbs. Hered, then they killed them. Abdon, and then they got rid of the body, they destroyed them completely in order to get rid of the body, that the Goyim shouldn't come and say, oh, take a look, there's nothing. They got rid of them completely. There's a Goyim on the Pasuk, Cherev, Herev, Abdon. As a matter of fact, there's actually another Medrash. The Medrash says that when Shmuel, when did he kill Agag? It says, Vayishasev is Agag. What does the word Vayishasev mean? So if you look at the Medrash, Vayishasev means he cut him up limb by limb. And he fed him to the worms. He fed him. He would feed him to the animals. That's Vayishasev. So we see mutilation and war. We see that something that's condoned. So how could we come and talk that here it's not condoned? Reb Chaim Kanievsky on the Megillah wants to say a pshat, and maybe Amalek is different. Maybe Amalek is different. In the back of my mind, I think to myself that the Malbim says that it's Mida Keneged Mida. Do I remember correctly that there's a Medrash that when Amalek came to Klal Yisrael, the Kachaytech Milei Sehem V'Zarkin Klal Pimalo? They did mutilation. That's what they did to us. And our killing Amalek is in revenge, so to speak. Even though we don't take revenge, but it's supposed to be for what they did for to us. Zachei Sashos L'cha Amalek. Maybe that's why Shmuel went Vayishasef, and he cut him up, he mutilated him, because that's what they did to us. And therefore, we pay them back, special Amalek. Not all wars, Chas V'Shalom, in most situations, we wouldn't mutilate. But Vibal, there's an inyan of Mida Keneg and Mida, and maybe Fakert, the Makar is here. You see, Adoni Bezek has done this, so in punishment for his crimes, so to speak, then we have to do to him what he has done to others. And maybe we could come and understand why by Amalek we find mutilation in the revenge against Amalek. Uncle Panim, Adoni Bezek gets this treatment because he did it to others. The question is, but what happens to the mitzvah? There's a mitzvah to go and kill from the seven nations. So when was this done? It says in the Pasuk, they went and they cut off his fingers, and then they brought him to Yerushalayim. Pasuk says clearly what? Vayom Hashem. What happened to the mitzvah? You know, you could come and make a cheshbon. I mean, whoever made the cheshbon, I guess the Av Beis Din, or the Tzadikim at the time, or the Meshuach Mocham, I'm not even sure who made the decision to cut his thumbs off. Yeah, but the mitzvah still remains the mitzvah. And the mitzvah was what? L'Sachaya Kol Neshama. Why didn't they kill him? So the truth is, the pshat, which is l'chayru pashuk, you have to say, that he actually died before they killed him. They were going to kill him. They bring him to Yerushalayim. Now, why did they bring him to Yerushalayim? Rashi says that that's the next conquest. By the Yerushalayim, shehochu misham lehilachem al Yerushalayim. So they planned on killing him, and he died on the derech. He died on the way. Now, why didn't they kill him right away? What's the point of taking him? Maybe to show lesson. Maybe to show that they captured Adoni Bezek. Maybe. There's an interesting Malbim. The Malbim says that the Rebbeinu Shlem made it that he shouldn't get killed in the hands of the Eden, but rather he should die en route. Says the Malbim, Kivat Shehoid al Pshav, who Shebedin Shamayim Shilmulai Kimidasai, Meis Kiderech, Kidarke Bederech. He got paid. He got the Rebbeinu Shlem was Mesavim his Zaynish. So now he's not what? Not going to get killed in the hands of Klal Yisrael. I guess it's worse of a death. It must be much worse if a person dies in the hand of the sword, or he dies naturally, even though it's not really natural. It's, I guess, because they cut off his limbs, unless maybe it had nothing to do with the limbs being cut off. Maybe he just died. According to the Malbim, you have to say the pshat is, he just died. He died a natural death, and had nothing to do with his wounds. And the reason, says the Malbim, because Lamaisa, he was Haidal Pshav, so he did what he had to do. The Nachla Shimon, Rabbi Krasner Shlita, beautiful Sefer, Rabbi Nachla Sefer, Tanakh, so he brings from the Kilis Yaakov, Reb David Pardo, that the reason why they didn't kill him is because he did tshuva. He did tshuva. Now actually, there's a Rabbeinu Bechaya that more or less says this. Rabbeinu Bechaya says something very interesting. Hizkir Misasai B'Yerushalayim. It mentions his death in Yerushalayim. Now, I don't know what's bothering him exactly. Is he bothered by the fact that it says Vayamos, and Yerushalayim is irrelevant in the conversation? What he meant to say was that somehow Vayamos, he died in Yerushalayim like a natural death, which means much later. What's bothering him is, what do you mean Vayamos? Vayamos what? In Yerushalayim? The point is that Pasuk is trying to stress it wasn't then, it was later. Why? L'lamdecha, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, Karakemach, Hakimon, Shizvada, V'hizkas Hashem, Yizbar, B'viduyav, He was mevada. He said to the Rebbeinu Shloim, I deserve what I got. Vidui, which is a whole question of going half vidui. It's a nice halacha shayla. But I'll upon him since he was mezvada. So there's two pshat in that base. Pshat number one is that the reason why the pasuk tells us that Adoni Bezek said what he said was to explain to me, are you talking? Klal Yisrael did this. They cut off his arms and legs. They did this. What does that make sense? Is that a Jewish trait? And the answer is, Vayoyim Adoni Bezek, he himself said he deserved it. The other pshat is to explain why he was Vayomayz Birushalayim. According to Rabbeinu Bechai, the pshat is, why does he die in Yerushalayim? Why did they kill him? And the answer is, he did tshuva. The problem, of course, is that tshuva should only work in the Shiva Amim before you go to Melchama. The Rambam says this clearly in Perik Vav and Ilchus Melachim. Before you go to war, they have shayich to do tshuva. Once they're caught, you can't say, I'm sorry. Okay, now I'm sorry. Okay, now I do tshuva. It's a little late for that. Rabbi Kras is married to Shiloh. The Sefer, it's a stark to Shiloh. But I'll upon him, these are the two, the two ways how to learn the Vayamais. Okay. The pasuk continues. 1 more minute is coming. Just want to catch one more pasuk. So geschmack, noch ein pasuk. Pasuk says, "Vayelachu b'nei Yehudah b'Yerushalayim v'yikud du'aisa." Okay, now they're fighting in Yerushalayim, and they capture v'yakul l'fichorev. They killed. They made all the people. But then something interesting, which we don't find anywhere else except for one other place, in the capture of Eretz Yisrael, and that is V'sa'ir Shilchu Ba'esh. That they set the place on fire. They torched it. You know, that's one of the ways of war. Iraq, Iran. They just went, they torched all the oil fields, right? It's a way of war. But we don't find this anywhere. We don't find it. One place we're soon going to learn in Chatzar. In Yeshua, it says that Chatzar, they also burnt it to the ground. And the question is, why are they burning Yerushalayim with fire? So I saw the beautiful Sefer, Das Sefer from Rabinowitz, Zecharin Levrach, he was a very big Baal Tanakh, beautiful Sfarim he wrote. He says two pshatim, no Makairis, I don't really know what the Makar is. First he says maybe it was difficult to capture, and therefore this was a way of burning them out. Well, the fighting was so intense, the only way is to burn the people out of the foxhole, so to speak. Another pshat he wants to say is, that they actually didn't move into Yerushalayim until quite some time after. So in order to make sure no one else moves in, the other nations that are around, you know, the minute you make a vacuum, it's all you need is right away, you know, all the other Arab countries are in, right? So therefore, they burnt everything to the ground. He brings down the Kairis for it. I don't know. I saw Rabbi Yitzhak Sorotskin says a very nice pshat. Beautiful pshat, really a beautiful pshat. There's an interesting Radak. In Yeshua we find the Chatzah was also burned to the ground. And the Radak explains why his Chatzah burned to the ground. So he says, because Chatzah was Reish HaMamlachis, it was like a capital by the Goyim. Amongst the nations in the Canaan, this was like a capital. So in order to make a lesson, to make a sign and a symbol, they burnt it to the ground. So he wants to say Yerushalayim as well. Yerushalayim, we all know, is the focus of the whole world is Yerushalayim. Stomach then also was the same thing. It was the head of the Gans Canaan. So to make a sign, to make an example, they went and they burnt it to the ground using the Radak by Chatzar over here too. I'm going to end Rabbi Yisrael with a thought. For some reason, and I don't have a raya, but I feel this way. Yerushalayim is halig. Who knows if the burning of Yerushalayim was to clean out, to make a libel chamer of all that went on. And Yerushalayim had to become the makam haroi for the Shechina, for the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. Therefore, maybe, they went. I see you're smiling. I don't have a raya, but I feel this way. But I can tell you one thing that came through my mind, and I'll let you think about it. By the Beis HaMikdash, we say in the Tefillah of Nachem, Ki be'esh hitzata Be'esh ata osid liv noisa. What esh is that? What kind of fire? And the answer is Kedusha is prepared with fire, with the Libun. It comes with fire. So it could be. And again, I don't have a raya. That's Libi Oimerli. And the mitzvah we shall continue next week from this pasuk, the capture of Chevron.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.